You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Cloud9 Sleep Shop in the Merritt Square Mall has expanded to meet the growing needs of the community and customers. Cloud9 Sleep Shop now has a 10,000 square foot showroom with a wider variety of choices for customers to shop for bedroom, living room, and dining room furniture from nationally recognized brands such as Ashley Furniture. Cloud9 Sleep Shop also carries memory foam mattresses from Serta, Ashley Sleep, Enso, and many more. Cloud9 has furniture to meet the needs of budget-minded customers with quality furniture. Cloud9 Sleep Shop is a family-owned business that understands the needs of growing families. Furnish your home with one-stop shopping from Cloud9 Sleep Shop. Cloud9 Sleep Shop, centrally located in Brevard at the Merritt Square Mall. For more information, go to their website at cloud9sleepshop.com.
When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 7 locations serving Brevard. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor's not available, with 7 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that's close by. And the number is easy to remember. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care, fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care, open 7 days a week, with the convenience of 7 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita McGee on WWBC AM 1510 and FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Each week, Ellen and I do a weekly show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we talk about things that are going on around the nation, things that are going on right here in Brevard County, what we like to call kitchen table topics. And, of course, it's Christmas time, so Merry Christmas to everybody and a Happy New Year. Ellen, glad that you're here.
So great. I can't believe it's been another year, Sita. And we've had such great guests on this year, so it's a great time to reflect. And of course, wish everyone a Merry Christmas and everything that that everyone celebrates, because I have a lot of friends that don't necessarily celebrate Christmas but celebrate many other holidays.
Well, I think I was born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago, and it doesn't matter what religion you are or what race, everyone celebrates Christmas. It's just a festive time of the year.
I
love
it.
Yes. For our listeners who are tuning in, boy, it's been a busy day for me. I ended up working today at the nursing home, and then I rushed over to the studio so we could tape our Christmas show. And I wanted our show today to be about people who are doing great things, not just here in Brevard, but with their lives, and people who view life with such a positive attitude and who cherishes what the United States have done for us, for our families, and for people around the world. And this is a time when we give back a lot. And one of such person is my little friend, Katie. And Katie's here. And she's, Katie, you know what? This is your third time on the show? Or your second?
Second.
This is her second time on the show. And Katie is, what I like to say, she's a little actress.
Yes.
She's on shows here at the
Cocoa Village Playhouse
and the Henniger Center, right? You were at the Henniger Center too? And you, will you just delete an Annie? Amazing, isn't it?
They can't hear your head nod, sweetie.
Yes. Yes. So I wanted Katie to come in today, since it's Christmas Day, so that she can sing a Christmas carol for our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and open our show with a good Christmas cheer. But before Katie goes on, we also have a guest who's going to be calling in later. He is going to be calling in from, I think, Vancouver, and he's going to be talking about his nonprofit called Life After Hate, and his name is Tony McClear. Actually, he's one of those fellows who is using his voice in such a positive manner that when you hear about his military background and the nonprofit that he founded with people who were thinking differently, but now they have realized that the way forward in our world is not through hatred, but through peace and unity and strike and just stomping out ignorance. And so I watched him on CNN, and I was totally amazed. And I said, so I reached out to him, and he said, yes, he'll call in on our show here on WWBC AM 1510 and FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And we're also blessed to have in studio our friend Candy. And Candy runs an ALF, and it's called Candy's House. And what Candy does, she's a registered nurse. She was born in Nigeria. She is also celebrating Christmas, right, Candy?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Oh, yes. Candy is a Christian. I know that. The way she carries about herself, very respectful. And she gives back a lot through the love and devotion that she gives to her patients and the professional care. I've been at Candy's house, and the people there, they're almost like her grandparents or uncles and aunties.
Oh, yes.
You never
know, right?
Mm-hmm. So, Candy, welcome to our show as well. So, the first segment, we're going to have a Christmas carol with Katie, and then we're going to speak with Candy. Then our friend Tony's going to call in if he can get to your phone, and then we'll have Katie close again. So, I think our listening friends would love the Christmas carol. So, Katie, thank you for being here, and thank you for singing for our listening audience.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear silver bells. Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Strings of street lights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green. As the shoppers rush home with their treasures, hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene. And above all this bustle you hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Wow.
Amazing.
It is.
Amazing.
I can see our little Katie going to New York one day and being on Broadway. And I know, Candy, you're probably thinking she should come sing for the residents.
Oh, yeah.
So, Candy, might just get a booking right here with us, Miss Katie. Well, Candy brought with her her handsome husband.
And Sebastian.
Sebastian. And sounds like, you know, Sebastian the crab, right? It's easy to remember Sebastian's name now. Have a seat, Sebastian. So Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is a very conversational show. We sit here and we have an unscripted show. It's not scripted in that you have to be nervous about being on the air, Sebastian. That's directed just at you. And I know Sebastian. And what he does is he helps Candy. He's like Candy's right-hand man, not just her spouse, but he also helps with the residents at Candy's house. And I remember I was there once and I saw Mr. Sebastian just sitting there and helping the residents with cutting up their fruit and just sitting with them and making sure that the lighting was okay and they had the windows were all clean. And you're just a wonderful husband.
Oh, thank you,
Mr. Sebastian. Yes. Candy picked really good.
Thank you.
So, Candy, tell our listeners a little bit about Candy's house.
Candy's house is an assisted living, six resident facility.
I think you have to speak a little louder, Miss Candy. Oh. Can you hear her?
Oh, it's a six resident facility, and we have males and female. You know, it's a very enjoyable facility. It's like a family, extended family, like you said, my grandparents. And my other extended family always also come. It's different from other facilities because we go out, we go to the beach, to everywhere.
The cruises.
We like fun.
Have you ever heard of residents in an assisted living facility booked on a cruise with Candy and Sebastian and her staff and going on what? Is it 4 or 5 days?
Days cruise. We have another one coming in February. We're going to Cozumel.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is, isn't it? And that's how she treats them, like you know, like they belong to her.
Yeah.
And so, Candy, what are you doing? What? Tell us a little bit about your background. You grew up in Nigeria.
Oh yes.
And how did you celebrate Christmas there?
Nigeria is different, and you know, we have a culture. You know, a cultural thing. You know, we go on Christmas. We buy all these nice dresses. And you go to different families' house.
So it's about family.
Family. And they give you food and gifts everywhere you go. That's the day we enjoy most, just traveling to each family, my uncles, my
I think
my
that's
nephew.
How it is back home, too. My father always respected the people and try to visit, especially the ones who couldn't drive or come out of their houses. We went house hopping.
Yes, that's what we do. We walk, though. We don't use anything.
That's why Candy and I hit it off when we met, you know. Because we have so much in common, just being nurses and then also loving the elderly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Sebastian, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Candy's house.
Well, normally I just help in any capacity that is needed. I help to, you know, do the cooking, the cleaning, you know, give bath to the male and observe them when they're doing things that...
dangerous,
not,
yeah.
Normally, be
yeah.
Done,
you protect
you
them.
Know, protect them. You know, just you know, help to fill in wherever possible, where Candy may not have the time, you know, to do those things. You know.
So, how did you guys start an assisted living facility? Because that doesn't sound like it was an easy thing to do.
No, it's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. At all.
No. Candy
so
said
how did
it
you
quickly.
Get that started.
You know, it was really funny. I worked at Florida Hospital for a while. I have a friend. One day we were supposed to go to work at 4 o'clock, at 7 o'clock. So at 4 o'clock, you know, we were so tired.
So you worked at, you said Florida Hospital, right?
Mm-hmm, Florida Hospital, Orlando.
Yes.
So, you know, so she was saying, okay, then we just tired of working like this. Why don't we, you know, open our own thing? So I said, oh, yeah, I have your house on the beach. I think I can use it. We can take care of elderly. You know, it's okay. We can do that. So that's how I started.
It's a six-bed facility?
It's a six-bed facility.
And probably a waiting list, it sounds like, if you're going on cruises and
yes,
and all the great activity.
Yes. I have a waiting list for this December, but as you know, it's coming from New Jersey, and it's still waiting now because I don't have no bed for him.
So how is it? So I assume that an assisted living facility is regulated. So because most people want, if they're putting a loved one there, they'd want to know, well, what regulations are they? Is it very strict?
Yes, by ACA.
Yes.
Very
and they
strict.
They just would do spot checks
spot
as
checks,
well.
Yes.
So you don't know when they're coming.
No, you don't.
Right.
Just, they come to check.
Right.
We have the ACA, we have the ombudsman. You can stop in any time.
And so, Sebastian, how does people find out about Candy's house? Where do you get your referrals from?
Well, it's especially, you know, word of mouth, you know, because families that have been there, they tell other friends and tell them of how they have enjoyed, their family have enjoyed that place, have been well taken care of. And they refer them to Candy, and then Candy follows up, you know, on them. Also, I think we have it in Google, you know, ad also.
Yeah, and... You know. And Candy's been out trying to market it as well to various social workers and places mm-hmm. like that. And I've also given your number out as well. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing for the residents for Christmas? Do you have, are they all celebrate? Well, I suppose with you, you're going to celebrate Christmas.
Oh, yeah, the family loves them to be with me because I spend a lot of time with them, you know. We really have, you know, open our gifts, eat a lot, yeah. have fun. You know, as always, they know, you know what we do. The family knows because they know we always take care of them because during the hurricane, we took them to Atlanta. So they said, I just want them to be with you. They don't want anything. So at Christmas, we open our gifts. Then we eat, dance to the music. They dance too. They love music.
They dance. Candy makes them dance.
Yeah.
So, Candy, tell us, so the family members, when the family members come in, I would assume they're very grateful to have a safe place to put their loved ones where they're getting excellent care. What are some of the other services you offer? Besides, you do bathing, dressing, grooming. What about doctor's appointments and all that?
Oh, I have a doctor in the facility. He comes every month to see them. You know, only they have, a specialist, then the family comes to take them to the specialist. But most of the time, the doctor comes to see them all the time. They don't have to go anywhere.
And so, that's amazing.
It is. It is. She has everything covered.
So you're thinking about maybe making an 18-bed facility?
No.
Because yeah, with service like that, I'm sure everybody would want.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know, when the survey, the family was, you know, they always talk to the family. The family, you know, what they told them, they said it's just too excellent. They couldn't believe it.
Oh, that's amazing.
The ACA survey.
So you used your own home on the beach?
Yes.
Originally, it was your own home?
Originally, the house, I raised my kids there, but we moved to Vieira. And then that house was vacant for a while. So that's why we used this. So it's the house I raised my kids in, you know.
Oh, that's great.
So Candy, if one of our listening friends on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is tuning in today, and of course we have about 2,000 downloads a week of this show as well, and if somebody is wondering, well, about the payment source, what are the methods of payment do you accept at Candy's house?
Private, Medicaid, and VA. No, these are all the ones. And insurance, like long-term insurance.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? A lot of people were very lucky to buy long-term care insurance.
Yes.
A lot of places don't offer it anymore, not the kind of plans they used to have like mm-hmm. 20 years ago, because people are living longer. Did you ever think when you left Nigeria you would open a successful business with Mr. Sebastian here, caring for people who build this country? Because, you know, oftentimes the elderly are people that are forgotten.
Oh, yes.
But you and Sebastian have taken them under your wing to care for them, and you see them and you hear them and you speak to them. They're people that have built a railroad and worked at AT&T and you know, raised their children, and they were teachers and lawyers and doctors, and they gave so much back to the United States and their families, and now their families are all over the world and you're taking care of them. Did you ever think you would be in that position?
Oh, I never thought about it, but you know, it's just a passion for me, because in our culture, you know, when we're growing up, you know, your mother took care of you. The way we do it, we don't want our elderly to suffer. I love to take care of elderly. You know, it's from the culture. That's why I just like to take care of them.
Now, and Candy also has very successful kids. And this is a time for Sebastian to take some credit and brag a little bit about the children. You have children, Sebastian. I know one of your daughters is a nurse practitioner, right? And the other one, because you know, they're an American success story coming from Nigeria. And did you speak English in Nigeria? Did you have, or you're just your mother tongue?
We're colonized by the British, so
right.
We speak and our tribal language and we speak English.
So how did you raise such successful kids, and what did the kids do? As this is Sebastian, because
well,
you know,
oh, okay.
Often the mother gets to boast. So let's have Sebastian boast a little bit.
Well, you know, due to our background, education is of paramount importance, you know, to every one of us. Since we all, myself and my wife, are educated, we want our children to be educated. So we exemplified our ways ourselves.
Discipline.
To see that they go through the same, avenue so that they can be successful. So we encourage them, you know, that book first before, you know, enjoyment were before boys. So they went through that, and the first one, you know, became, you know, has PhD in, you know, pharmacy, and then became nurse practitioner. And the second one had master's, you know, in communication, evangelism, and also has her own business. The third one has JD, you know, is a lawyer. And that is all glory to the Lord, who gave us the strength and the determination to, you know, encourage them to do what they love to do.
And the wisdom.
And the wisdom.
And now, and you and Candy are so calm. You're just so calm about everything. And I think you pass that on to your children as well. You know, Candy and I hang out, you know, we do things together. And she just sits and observes. And she watches everything. And I could see that her children, your children got that from you guys. They're very disciplined. And I've been at your home and I've seen the way you live too. And I have to say, I really admire both of you. You motivate people to do more in life other than, I mean, you could have stayed working as an RN at the hospital, but, you know, you wanted to open your business and you had a plan. So what's the next step for Candy's house? You've raised successful children. You were a nurse. And I know, Sebastian, you're still working as well.
Yeah, even though I retired from the state as a child protective investigator, I'm working now as a contractor to Disney at the Cape, you know, where we screen, you know, luggage for the.
There's something about immigrants, we just can't stop working. I mean, even we just can't, even if we're home for a week, it's like punishment. Mm-hmm. You know how some people say, well, I'm going to take a week off and rest. To us, that's punishment. My husband always says, what is wrong with you? Is there something on the furniture that pokes you in your bottom that you can't sit on the couch? And I'm like, no, there isn't, but I just can't, you know. So, Candy, what's in store for Candy's house? What's the future looking like?
The future is looking like taking care of my residents better. Better enjoying. You know, I just love to enjoy them. You know, like, have time for them, you know.
I just love to go.
You know, maybe one day we're going to have an RV and just travel around.
And take them with you.
As usual.
Yeah. What is the hardest decision you have to make with an ALF? I mean, is it very difficult when you lose someone to let them, to put them in hospice or something like that?
The hardest one is when they pass away. It's really hard when you're so used to them. You feel so sad, you know. It's like when you come back, you see the chair they were sitting on. It's just you cry each time you see that chair.
It's heartbreaking.
It's very hard for us and for the family. And the family keep on coming. Even we say last week, when I passed, you know, the anniversary a year ago, they came, they brought flowers, you know, just to thank us and everything, because we are like family. Our own ALF is different because we are family oriented.
Yeah.
You know, and we extended it as like an extended family. It doesn't matter where you are, what you are. We are
all. I always say the world is a global village. Mm-hmm. It really is. I don't think it's great when people could take other people's cultures and beliefs and just mesh it into their own. And then when we all see that the spirit that lives in you lives in me as well. Mm-hmm. But you know, I read something once. It says that not everybody believes that, but it's something that you cultivate. Is as time goes by, you see that, you know, sometimes you meet somebody and you say, oh my God, I feel like I've known you forever. And it is the spirit, I think, you know. So, Mr. Sebastian, what do you personally spend most of your time on with the patients? Well, do you call them residents or patients?
Residents.
We call them residents. Call them residents. What do I spend most of my time? Well, we just, you know, hang around by the den, watch TV, because most of them play cards. I don't know how to play cards, you know.
So you learn from them. You probably learn from them.
Yeah, you know. So one of the residents' son comes there to play cards with them. I just watch, and maybe I can pick up some points, you know, from them. So beside that, you know, that's what I do with them.
And we do a lot of outing.
I was just going to say, do you encourage any creative thinking with the residents? Do you have arts and crafts and activities? Because Ken works in activities. He knows all about that. He's the activities director. Katie's dad is the activities director at Life Care. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now Candy's thinking maybe I could talk to him too. Candy's always thinking. So what advice would you give someone who is looking for an ALF, for a resident? What should they be looking for?
First of all, they have to go and tour the place and look at it and, you know, visit at least 3 times before you put your family in there. You know, make sure, you know, because if you put your family in there, you know, and you don't like it later, it's bad.
That gut feeling. You have to have that feeling.
Mm-hmm, that, yeah. You know, so the best thing is just go to tour the place, talk to the people, talk to the residents, you know, and take references from the other families to know how the place is before you put your family
in there. Very important, references, mm-hmm. taking a tour, mm-hmm. and also the smell. I mean, yeah. you really mm-hmm. have, when you go to tour an ALF mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. nursing facility, I think you tell a lot about the place by the way it smells, the cleanliness, mm-hmm. If the place is tidy, if, you know, things are not inside that are mm-hmm. making you feel as though it's not a home setting, because it's not really a nursing home anymore or an ALF. It is their home. It is where they're going to live, mm-hmm. right? So you have mm-hmm. to get away from that where it's a nursing home or ALF. Mm-hmm. So
where do you get your support from? I mean, obviously, being a business owner, it's not easy all the time, being a business owner.
I would say from the Lord.
Okay. Excellent.
The Lord supported me all through. Whatever I do, He guides me.
Yeah, with insurance changes and those kinds of things that have all happened, this hasn't really affected
Candy
you that
leaves
much.
Everything up to God, right? Mm-hmm. And she yeah. does. They both
Amen.
Do.
Yeah.
So both of you have the characteristics of leaders. How do you tell our listening audience on WWBC AM 1510 a little bit about your leadership qualities? Where did Sebastian get his leadership qualities and you, Candy? And I think we have 3 minutes, and that's a really good question for you all to answer, because is it actually a gift for our listeners on AM 1510 WWBC?
Well, I would say my own gift, like we just said, gift of leadership is through the wisdom, discernment, you know, from the Lord. Because I cannot direct, I cannot lead, first and foremost, if I don't have encouragement or insight, you know, from the Spirit of the Lord. And that first, and then, you know, from there, I do what I'm supposed to do. If it's not going right, then I will be directed to the right, you know, direction.
So you set a good example.
Yeah, good examples.
Lead by example is what they say,
servant,
right?
Be a servant leader, you know.
So, Candy, same question to you.
Same thing.
Were you the eldest girl? Because they say usually the eldest girl has leadership qualities.
Oh, yes.
You were?
No, I wasn't. I have a sister.
I hope you know your family could tune in Nigeria and listen to you on this show, too, because it's live online all over the world. So the next time you come back, you'll have to tell them so they could tune in.
But we'll make sure that we put a podcast up.
Candy, what would you do to ensure that you continue to grow and do exactly what you're doing? What do you have in future for yourself? I mean, besides you know, Sebastian said that everything is through God, mm-hmm. and then you do everything through networking, and you mm-hmm. do continuing education mm-hmm. and all that.
Exactly.
Anything else? I mean, you're just going to keep up with your RN license and continue with your ALF, but you have no plans to expand?
No, I don't have no plan to expand, because I'm comfortable with what I have, because I want to enjoy. It's not expanding and making big money. No, just, you know, loving the people I have and able to take care of them. That's what I'm happy with.
Just a passion. Mm-hmm. She just has a passion for it. So, Sebastian, before we close, any words of wisdom for our audience who are listening and who are going to be downloading our podcast? Ellen has it listed as Cedar and Friends on iTunes, and we also have it on our website at Cedar Media Inc. So I want both of you. You guys are such success stories, not just with your children, but with your faith and everything that you do in life. So give us a little bit of your wisdom before we go off air.
Well, you know, as a season that we are into right now is about, you know, love, okay? The Christmas is about love, because the Lord gave us a loving gift, and that gift is what we have to enjoy with everyone that, you know, surrounding us. With love, you can, you know, conquer any circumstances. You can, you know, reach others and show what is in you and share what you have in you, you know, in everyone that comes your way. So let us learn day by day, okay, to do something that is loving for somebody you don't know, not necessarily somebody.
So be thy brother's keeper, not just in words, but in thoughts.
Yeah.
And words and thoughts, but in action as well. Yes. I know Candy and I talk about this all the time. That's how you live. So any parting words? Because I know you have taken so many people under your wing to teach them how to open an ALF, mm-hmm. and you've given them your heart and your wisdom so that more nurses. I know so many nurses who wants to open their own facility, and you've given them your guidance. What gives you that drive that you could share your knowledge with others? Like Ellen and I say, your talents, gifts, and abilities. How do you do that? Is it just something that you were, when you lived in Nigeria, it's a village approach to life?
Yes, it is. And love, like you said, love conquers everything. You know, you just have to love people. You don't think, oh, I have it, I can't extend it. You have to extend your hands to everybody. It doesn't matter where they come from, you know.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, I feel like I'm in church. So, you know what? Do you two ever fight?
Every
because
minute.
Their voice is so common. I could see Sebastian saying, okay, Candy, wait a minute. Let's pray to the Lord about this before you start.
No, that's not true. No.
That's not true.
Sebastian, she's going to out you. But anyway, so Ellen, so I think what we would do, we want to, what's the phone number for Candy's house if somebody wants to get a hold of you? Or do you have a website?
I do have a website.
Now is the time to give your phone number and your website.
My phone number is 321-693-1776. And my website is www.candysseniorliving.com.
So candysseniorliving.com. Mm. Okay.
So what we'll do, because Candy is such a wonderful friend and such an inspiration, we'd put that on our website so people can see that when they go on our website as well. And you're going to a wedding now to Kissimmee.
Oh, yes,
you have
I
to
am.
Drive all the way there. So you see more love. God makes things
love,
happen.
That's love.
More love.
My other guests had called out. I'm not sure this one what happened to my guest, but I called my friend Candy and I said, hey, would you like to come and have a segment on the show? And she said, well, sure, if I can get to go first, because I'm going to a wedding in Kissimmee. And I said, sure.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, thank you both so much for being here and sharing your wisdom and your love with us today.
And congratulations on your wonderful children and family and all that you give back to us here in the United States and Brevard.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for inviting us here.
Yes.
And it's a great time for us to be thanking our sponsors. We had a few sponsor airs right in the beginning, right from Cloud9 Sleep Shop, as well as we have Dixie Crossroads, which is a fantastic Titusville restaurant if you've not been up there for fresh seafood. And, of course, our main sponsor, who has been with us for the entire 6 years we've been on the air, Jot Koff & Associates. They're a Jot Koff Financial Group. They are great for your taxes, investments, any questions that you may have. And, of course, that time is coming now. So, you know, usually around Christmas time is when I start thinking about what I need to do for my financial future. So make sure that you check out Jot Koff & Associates. They have 3 locations, and you can find them on our website at cedamediainc.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Cedar Biggie on WWBC AM 1510 and FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. That's what happened when you have an unscripted show, because you speak from memory. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. So we had a robust first half segment. We had our friend Candy here, and Candy spoke about her assisted living facility in Satellite Beach, Florida, where she's got 6 beds, and she takes care of residents, washing, dressing, grooming, giving medications, transportation. She has a physician that comes in-house, and she told us all about how she started her business. She's a registered nurse, and her husband, Sebastian, was here as well, and they shared their wisdom about raising 4 wonderful children and having a business here. So that was great. And we had Katie that sang for us a Christmas carol, right? She sang Silver Bells. And she's going to sing again in a little bit. Thank you for sticking around, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, she's so sweet. She loves being on stage, and she likes being on mics. And Ellen Little, my co-host, who's been with me forever, is here on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends. And so on the phone, we have Tony McAleer. I hope I'm saying it right, Tony.
McAleer.
Tony McAleer. And Tony has an organization called Life After Hate. And I heard him on CNN, and it was so inspiring to people like me who try to find a place of compassion and forgiveness for everyone. And I just thought, wow, I should have this guy on my show. And it's been back and forth. He called in once, but he called in on a different time, and he was supposed to call in Eastern time, so we couldn't hear him. And I thought, it's Christmas time, the holidays are here, and there's so many people who are hurting out there. Some people have families, some people don't. Some people found out that a loved one is ill. Maybe someone is having a disagreement with a relative over politics or social issues or faith or whatever it is. And Tony is here to spread his message with us, how to heal and bring peace and unity to our world. So welcome, Tony, and thank you for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about yourself.
Well, I spent 15 years in the white supremacist movement, both as a member and as a leader. I joined in 2011 with six other people that had similar backgrounds who had left the movement behind. And we had the simple desire to help people who are where we once were. And there was nobody around to help me leave the movement and help me transition out. I kind of stumbled through the wilderness on my own, but I made it. And we thought that we would be able to better help those who were struggling in that lifestyle and who were dangerous not only to themselves but to other people, get out of that hateful
atmosphere.
Lifestyle. And the mission... Yeah, and the mission statement of Life After Hate is to inspire people and communities to a place of compassion and forgiveness for themselves and for all people. And so I know it's a heavy subject, and I know it's Christmas, but really it is a message that should inspire hope where often it feels like there's nothing but despair.
And you've gained your experience for decades by doing so many things. And one of the things that you absolutely love, and I read on your website, is your love for children led you to this journey of a spiritual journey in personal transformation. You want to expand a little bit about that?
Yeah, it didn't happen right away, but a couple of years before I left the movement, I found myself at the age of 23 in a delivery room. And I remember my mom warned me about this girl I was with, and she's, oh, she, you know, my mom is like a middle-class English woman, and so it was like, Tony, don't go out with her. She'll ruin your life. She'll get pregnant on you. And she was like the beak. Me and my brother called her the beak. And it was all pecking at us kind of thing. And 3 months into the relationship where I was breaking up with her for about the 10th time that week, I mean, it was worse than Sammy and Ronnie on the Jersey Shore. And she told me she was pregnant, so... But I remember being in that delivery room and you know, it was the first person the nurses handed this beautiful little baby girl to, and she had a little scrunchy face, and she hadn't opened her eyes yet. And when she did open her eyes, my face was the first picture her brain was going to take. And I connected for the first time to another human being since I couldn't remember when. I'd so shut down my sensitivity and my emotional self, and just operated totally from ego and mind. And it was a very powerful event. I had a son 15 months later, and you know, between the two of them, the beautiful thing about children is they come at us with this bountiful love and acceptance, and it's safe to love a child. They're not capable of shaming or ridicule or rejection, at least not till they're teenagers, and they do that for a couple of years. But and it's infectious, and you can't help but let your guard down, because it's okay to do that. There, it's a safe environment with which I was able to open up and allow myself to...
Well, the reality of life is once you have children, they do transform you. So, Tony, you've spent the past 6 years as a principal of McAleer and Associate Wealth Management, and you're also a motivational speaker as well, and you're also the executive director of Life After Hate, and you're sharing all this love and compassion and helping so many of us all over the United States and actually all over the world, but I have a question for you that someone sent for me. How do you help individuals who wish to leave a life of hate and violence? How do you help those individuals? How do you hold them by the hand and guide them?
So the first part of that is they have to want to be helped, right? I mean, we can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped. We can provoke disillusionment, perhaps. But so where do people run into trouble? And what I've learned in my journeys is that the level to which we dehumanize other human beings, for whatever reason, is a mirror reflection of how disconnected and dehumanized we are inside. So when people talk about becoming radicalized or becoming hateful, you know, I think hate is a place of absolute disconnection. And I think the way we help people back is we rehumanize them. We connect them back to the humanity within. And once they can start to recognize their own humanity, they can recognize the humanity in others. And we'll do things like take someone who's very Islamophobic and take them to the imam in their local community. And because most people haven't met the people that they claim to hate.
That's right. Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to be loved and accepted, and they want to be appreciated, you know, as being a human being on God's magnificent planet as well. So Tony, yeah. where do you think people learn to hate? I mean, where is this? I don't know if it's in the home or if it's in schools or just their neighborhoods or where does this
I think the question is where do they become disconnected?
Yes.
Right? Because there can be no hate without that internal disconnection. And, you know, once we repair that, it's not that they learn hatred. They're given an ideology that is angry. They're given an ideology which becomes an external framework by which that they can explain what's going on inside. Their internal discord gets manifested outside, and you know, it's not the ideology that draws people in. And it's like you say, people, you know, want to be loved. And what does love look like? Attention, acceptance, approval. If we can't get those in a healthy way, we'll get them in a very unhealthy way. And you know, if we look at the young people, young men that were arrested in Brussels and Paris for the ISIS attacks, they weren't Islamic scholars. Islam didn't teach them to be that. If you actually look in the histories, they were troubled youth. They were criminal histories and drug histories. And it's that
yeah.
vulnerability that gets created through life's experiences of a young person. I call it toxic shame.
Yes.
You know, where we come into the world and we believe we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough, we're less than, we're not lovable. And that forms the core part of our identity. And we go out into the world and live our lives in reaction to that toxic shame. Now, I'm not talking about healthy shame. You know, even anger can be healthy if it's transitory. But when it's burning as an ember 24/7 in your subconscious, it causes problems.
And there's a saying.
Let me ask you this question.
A lot of people believe you are what you think and what you breathe, and so your environment does have an effect on you. So if you're hanging around with people who are putting these evil thoughts in your mind and shaping your minds, and I think obviously it has some effect on your mind and your spirit and your soul too.
It does, but the vulnerability has to be there to begin with. So I was going to finish. Let me ask you this question. What's a word that's the opposite of shame?
The opposite of shame, Ellen. What's the word, the opposite of shame?
The opposite of shame.
You take me by surprise there.
Yeah.
Well,
the opposite of shame is pride, probably.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What are these movements all about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hyper expression of pride because they're coming from a place of deficit and shame. And I think that shame is the problem with that is that shame is the root of addiction. It's the root of violence. It's the root of violent extremism. It's the root of
well, I never thought of that before.
He's right, though.
That's what he said on CNN. I remember him saying that on CNN. So Tony, Life After Hate also support the community. You guys support faith. You work in conjunction with faith leaders, with social workers, with counselors, with families, and you work with individuals who desire to change their behaviors or just change their outlook or change whatever it is that's making them so hateful and ignorant. How can people who are tuning into our show today, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, how can they find you? Do you on your website, or how do they get good information?
It's www.lifeafterhate.org, or you can reach me at tony@lifeafterhate.org, and we're here to assist people in their communities who are grappling with these issues, whether it be a loved one, a friend, or you're on a community or a campus that gets confronted with, you know, white nationalist group. We're here to assist people that are struggling with that, and we do that with compassion. And I think the thing to remember is the thing that we shouldn't do is, for right off the bat, is challenge the ideology in an individual, because and I know that that's going to sound strange, but the ideology and identity for most of these people, because it's an identity more than it is a belief system, and I'm not discounting structural racism, and that's a whole other issue, but for someone that's in this world, ideology and identity are intertwined, and if you attack the ideology, you're attacking their identity, and the ego defenses go up. What we first need to do is separate ideology from identity, then we can loop back around and go straight at the ideology. But if you try and do that as the first step, you're going to further entrench the person into their not their ideology, into their identity. And
well, we just want to tell our listeners who we're speaking to. We're speaking with Tony McAleer. And Tony was once a former organizer for the White Aryan Resistance. It's called WAR. He is now he is the executive director of Life After Hate, and he shares his practice of compassion as a presenter of, and it's this is so beautiful. It says, "Kindness, not weakness," curriculum. So Tony, with the few remaining minutes left, what's ahead? What are your future goals for Life After Hate? What are you working on right now? Are you partnering with any businesses or anything like that you're doing things in your community?
Yeah. So there's a number of different things that we're working on. And there's Exit Germany has kind of created a platform for us that we can share called Exchange the Hate. And what that allows people in their own communities when they're the far right is going to have a rally, you can, you know, whether it's the size or the length of time or how far they march, there's all kinds of different metrics. People can donate, and the more successful, for lack of a better term, that far right event is, the more money people can pledge to help fight racism. So they did this in Germany, and it was march that they had in the town where Rudolf Hess was buried, a former Nazi official in World War II. And the protesters were egging and encouraging the Nazi marchers on. They gave them bananas and water to keep marching, because every 100 yards that group marched, more and more money was raised to combat them. And it was a different way of attacking. They were like cheering them on and stuff. It was, you've seen the video, it's quite funny. And so it's a platform to allow people to confront racism in a peaceful way in their communities. And
yeah, and you guys are also engaged in academic research with very reliable partners as well, and you're trying your best to combat extremism, which is, it's really good to, because you're enabling us to understand, you know, what strategies you're developing. But I just want to say, one of the things I noticed too with people who've been on your website, and one of the topics you've spoken about on CNN, was that the unique experiences that we all have in life position all of us to understand the challenges and support those who want to change and those who want to leave movements that promote hatred, whether it's far right or far left. I think what we want our message around this time of the year to be is that people should try their best to see the good in everything and just be united. So how can Life After Hate help to bring people together at this time of the year?
Well, this time of the year
it's Christmas time, it's the holidays, and there are so many people who are hurting. And I think organizations such as Life After Hate is doing such a beautiful job of looking at the past challenges that you face and other people, and the way you were raised and the environment you were in, that now you can take all that experience and help someone now at this time of the year so they can make a resolution to go forward.
Well, I think the challenge I would give all of your listeners is to, you know, look in deep inside their hearts and, you know, ask yourself this question: who do I dehumanize? Because it's probably not racist, but maybe it's a drug addict, maybe it's a homeless person. There's people in the community all around us that we look down on and dehumanize, that that we need to have compassion for. And I would say, go and do an act of compassion for someone who you feel doesn't deserve it. And when you do that, pay attention to two things. Pay attention to how it makes the other person feel, and more importantly, pay attention to how it makes you feel. And I think when you are conscious of how acts of compassion feel for you and the other person, it feels really good, and you want to do it some more. And the hardest thing in the world to do is to have compassion for someone who has no compassion, but they are the very people that need it.
You speak like my dad. My dad used to say that all the time. Well, Tony, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you, and I've followed you on the web and listened to you on CNN and all these other major networks, and you are making a difference because you make people think. And I always say, when someone says, be thy brother's keeper, not just in words, but they should do it in actions as well. So thank you so much around the holidays for calling in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and sharing your knowledge and experience. And Ellen will put your website on our website,
yes,
as well.
Absolutely. I think thank you again, Tony, and Merry Christmas.
Fantastic, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. God bless. And I think now is the time of our program here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, since it is Christmas time and it is the holidays, and so many families are out shopping and getting presents ready, and people are cooking their favorite meals and whatever. We want to give our listeners another treat, and that treat is Katie singing another Christmas carol. So go ahead, Katie.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Beautiful, beautiful. And we hope all of our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on AM 1510 WWBC, we certainly don't want you to have a white Christmas, because that's why we moved to Florida.
But I know.
We want you to have a beautiful Christmas with your family and yours. And of course, Sita Begee and all of your family, thank you so much for all the support and love that you've shown us every single year with all the guests that you bring on.
I just want to give a special thank you to Pastor Paul for running our board here on WWBC AM 1510 and FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7, and say thank you for giving us an opportunity to be on air and use our voice in a very responsible manner here in Brevard County, Florida. And to all our listeners who've supported the show and all our sponsors, thank you, Merry Christmas, and Happy Holidays.
Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how actions are for me. How he loves us all. How he loves us.